Good morning. Today's scripture is Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 18. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes that I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness and the red wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from flint rock. He fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you, and in the end to do you good. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today. This is a reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Savior God, guide us into and through your word, that we might be shaped by your Spirit's message to us today and transformed for your service in your world. Amen. So today is Stewardship Sunday. That was an announcement that I forgot. Thanks, Arlie, for reminding me that there is food, lunch after worship. But It was sort of hard picking out which scriptures and what exactly to say about stewardship, and so I hope you just sort of follow me through this one. It'll take a minute to get there, but I promise we will get there. There are a bunch of proverbial sayings in the English language. I mean, in every language, really, but there are those like cliches that we say when we want to send like a wise warning to other people. Like when someone's getting real nebby, well, we might warn them that like, well, curiosity killed the cat. You know, letting them know like maybe you don't want to find what you're looking for. And but the thing is that a lot of those sayings don't really mean what we think they mean. Like, obviously, they're not to be taken literally, but even that curiosity killed the cat thing, there's a second half to that, which is, but satisfaction brought it back. Meaning, there's a lot of anxiety involved in not knowing what's happening, what's going on. It's like so much anxiety that it just gonna kill you. But then like once you figure it out, once you know what's happening, once you have a plan, that anxiety just falls away and you're back to normal. And then there are those expressions that make little to no sense at all, like even figuratively, they don't make sense. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps comes to mind. We know what it means. We hear it a lot. Like, if you don't like your lot in life, if you don't like where you are, do something about it. Work hard. Use your own resources. Anyone can succeed through their own hard work without assistance from anyone else. And if you can't do it, well, you're lazy. You're not trying hard enough. It's your own fault. Don't expect anybody else to help you out there. Here's the thing, though. Pulling yourself up by the bootstraps is both literally and figuratively impossible. Give it a try. Even if you don't have boots, just try it with your own shoes. Lay on the ground and try to pull yourself up to a standing position by using those bootstraps. I'm not gonna lie, I'm looking at some of you and I'm trying to, like, in my mind, I'm watching you do it, and it's pretty funny. Because it's absolutely absurd, right? In a literal sense, gravity won't let us lift ourselves up through anything attached to our own bodies. But also in the figurative sense, none of us has gotten where we are on our own. Each and every single one of us benefit from the things that we did not contribute to, that we did not build, that we did not learn. And I think we often forget about that. About all of the people that were there along the way to help us, all of the resources that God placed at just the right spots along our journeys. The Israelites certainly needed reminding of all they received throughout their desert journey. As slaves who couldn't fight for themselves, God helped them flee the tyranny of Pharaoh. As they wandered the desert, God guided them through a cloud and pillar of fire. While they were homeless for 40 years, God took care of every single one of their needs. Manna in the dewdrops to eat, fresh water, fresh clean water, pouring out from the stones, protection from snakes and scorpions. And you'd think that time in the wilderness would have been so full of eye-opening experiences that they could never, ever forget all of the amazing things that God did for them. Yet, as they settled back into the land, they found that they had less and less need for God. Finally, in their own land, the Israelites could build their own houses and raise their own food. They created a military and fortresses to protect themselves. The people became comfortable and proud. And they had little sympathy for those experiencing hardships. Instead of caring for and sharing with one another the way that God told them to, they gave sacrifices to Baal. For rain and for crops, they would give sacrifices to Ashtaroth. The farther away that Israelites got from their slavery in Egypt, from their trials in the wilderness, the less they thought they needed to obey God. The more self-sufficient they became, the more they forgot about God's role in the creation of their nation, and their memories became skewed. Their memory starts to tell them that it was their army that defeated Pharaoh. They conquered the walls of Jericho. They earned a right to this land. They believed that they have pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps. And everyone else should too. But Israel's existence didn't come about by her own power or skill or even righteousness. Israel came about solely through the grace and power of God working in the lives of the least likely people and in some of the most challenging conditions. Yeah. There were some individuals that did some pretty inspiring things. But Moses did not lead people through the Red Sea by or even for himself. All of the difficulties they overcame, the trials, the problems, the unlikely outcome could only have come from God. We live in a time and a culture where we are also expected to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. The American dream says that anyone who works hard enough can make it in this world. If someone doesn't have enough to eat, if they can't find a place to live, if they can't afford to see a doctor, well, that's just their own fault. They just need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. And we celebrate billionaires and make up stories about how they worked so hard all by themselves to accumulate wealth. But they didn't make it on their own. They didn't pull themselves up by their bootstraps. They started their companies or inventions or, you know, whatever else through small loans from family members. They learned skills from other people. They benefit from the infrastructure and inventions of other people. Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall illustrated this once when he wrote, "None of us got where we are solely by pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. We got here because somebody, a parent, a teacher, an Ivy League crony, or a few nuns, bent down and helped us pick up our boots." Each one of us faces complacency and the temptation to self-congratulate ourselves for the achievements that we attain. A lot of you have said how proud you are of me for going through seminary and going through the ordination process and all of those things, and I don't defer because I'm humble. I defer because I didn't do it by myself. I could not be here without the prayers, without the support, without the many, many scholarships that made it so that I didn't have to eat ramen every night. And that let me buy books. And there's just been so many people who have lifted me up to get where I am, and there are so many people who have lifted each of you up to get where you are. And a lot of times we forget to recognize that. Ultimately, everything we have and everything we are is a generous gift from God. And in that way, success and prosperity can be really much more dangerous than the wilderness. In times of scarcity, we know that we have to rely on God. But in times of plenty and in success, we have a tendency to neglect our obligations to God and to each other. What are our obligations to God? Well, first and foremost, it's giving recognition and thanks to God. That's a pretty good start. Recognizing all that God provided to us in this exact place and at this exact time. Giving thanks for all of the people that God put in our lives to join us on this journey. The people who helped us with our bootstraps. Remembering that our lives can have no higher wealth or sustenance than that provided by the Word of God. And it is in that recognition and in that thanksgiving for all that we have been given that we give back. We give back to God the very best of ourselves, physically, emotionally, spiritually. We show our gratitude by sharing our gifts, our time, our money, our talents, sharing those things with the church and our neighbors. We give back by bending over to help other people with their bootstraps, because we know that God is the one who gave us boots in the first place. Thanks be to God. Amen.